This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. And to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass. On Joy 94.9.
For this episode of Triple Bypass, we'll be joined by James, who's back for an episode to talk to us about an exciting new Bypass project. We'll also be finding out about a ruckus in France that may have something to do with Amelia's story on sperm shortages from before. And bring you the latest news, conversations, updates, and many, many bad puns from the biosphere. All that and more coming up on the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA+. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And now to get us started, here's Sia with The Fight.
Oh,
Ah, this is Triple Bypass, your weekly bisexual plus radio takeover, and that was one of my favourite bicons, Sia with The Fight. I'm Ruby.
I'm Amelia.
And we're here to bring you a weekly fix of bypass community goodness, thanks to the crew at Bad Gays. But tonight we're here to talk about a new project that's all about how to improve bi-plus inclusion in all spaces. The best way to do it is with an audit, a bisexual audit.
Bisexual audit sounds so sexy.
I know. And we want to hear from you, as always, so please get in touch. You can email us on air at joy.org.au or text on 0427JOY949. That's 0427-569-949. And you can find us on our socials, Amelia.
Facebook Triple Bypass, Instagram Triple Bypass Joy, or email us anytime at triplebypass@joy.org.au. I think it's time for some community news, Rubes.
Let's get us started. I was going to do a drum roll, but I won't because I'll spike my own mic out. I almost played myself. Amelia, kick us off with some communities.
So, look, a few weeks ago when I was last on, we were talking about how there was looking to be some changes to the fertility laws in France in terms of women who are in partnerships with women or who are single. Accessing donor sperm, there is a big outcry because there was a fear that there was going to be a shortage. There's always a fear in France. There's always a fear.
That's what they were saying they were scared
they
of.
They were. You're not going to run out of sperm, mates. It's fine. But apparently what's been happening recently is thousands of conservative activists have marched through Paris last Sunday to protest these new laws, which are bioethic laws, which are proposing to allow lesbian and bisexual women in relationships with women and also single women the right to conceive children with medical assistance. So if you weren't listening last time, the new bill is French President Emmanuel Macron's first major push for social reform in the field of reproductive technology and would end discrimination over reproductive rights by enabling lesbian and bi couples and single women access to medically assisted procreation, such as IVF and sperm donation. So the protest began outside the Senate, where the new law will be decided this month, and proceeded to the Tour Montparnasse skyscraper in southern Paris. So, however, left-wing and pro-LGBTIQ groups were quick to counter-protest, which is amazing, and police cut off several streets in case violence did ensue. So a lot of the placards that were being told around were saying, "Where is my dad?" and "Children deserve a father," and that kind of nonsense that we saw in the postal survey here, as conservative Catholic groups and far-right activists passed by the French Senate. So the president of the Association of Catholic Families said that her group had distributed about 3 million flyers to protest the law or the law reform. So under current French law...
What a waste of good paper.
I know. I'm like, oh, we've already had half the Amazon burned down. We don't need to be printing anti-LGBTIQ flyers.
It's like, I just imagine like the Dr. Evil, like three million flyers.
So under the current law, it's only heterosexual couples who've been married or living together for more than 2 years have the right, I say right in inverted commas in the studio, to access procedures such as artificial insemination, sperm donation or IVF. So about 74,000 people took part in this rally, which is wild. But
less than they hoped.
Less than they hoped. They hoped for 100,000. They didn't get it sucked in. So the bill must be approved by the upper house or Senate before it can be passed. So we'll wait to see what happens there. But I think you were saying earlier, Ruby, it's quite shocking. We think of France as quite a progressive
nation. They're extremely secular. To the point where, like, you know, they've banned hijabs and niqabs from... because they're saying, religion has no place in law. And yet, you know, 7 years ago, they were one of the few countries out of their neighbouring area in Europe to full-on riot.
Against the same-sex marriage laws.
Yeah.
That's right. Anyway, so that's a follow-on for our listeners. We'll keep you updated.
Yeah, we will. And because the bill has to also get passed by the upper house, like in Australia.
That's right.
Now, my one is, a federal human rights complaint is challenging Canada's policy requiring gay and bisexual men to observe a waiting period between having sex with other men and donating blood. And this case has been referred to the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal for an inquiry. So the original complaint was filed in 2016, which was, and that policy has changed since then, but he is continuing to pursue it because while they have lifted their waiting period from a year to 3 months, he is still saying that any deferral is outdated and discriminatory.
Yes.
In Canada, there was a lifetime ban on gay and bisexual men donating blood, which was lifted in 2013. Mm-hmm. And then it went to people who abstained from sex for 5 years, and then it dropped down from 1 year, and now is 3 months. So it's getting smaller and smaller, but he's basically saying this is still, if you're reducing it, then you know that this is a barrier.
If you've reduced it from a lifetime to 3 months, like, what's the point of having one?
And in a very short amount of time as well. So, like, in that time period, like, that is less time than they're expecting men to wait before they can donate blood anyway.
The irony.
And in some countries, including Australia, so many countries have deferral policies on or outright ban gay and bisexual men from donating blood. And I'm guessing, like, they don't obviously talk about this. It doesn't say if they're referring to cis and trans men or if it's just specifically cis men. Mm. But Australia has a one-year abstinence requirement from sex before blood donation is allowed. And in some countries, once again, including Australia, the deferral policies are also applied to women who have male sex partners that are having sex with other men.
Right.
Now, Canada's 3-month waiting period also applies to women, as does the UK's 3-month period. However, in France, Germany, Ireland and Hong Kong, they all have one-year deferral policies that don't apply to women. Mm. And it was just, I ended up falling into a bit of a rabbit hole just reading and seeing all the different countries because it's unexpected. Russia has no deferral policies.
Seriously.
I think Taiwan has 5 years, but nothing for women. And obviously non-binary people can give all the blood they want. We're just great like that. I was going to say we're all universal donors. That is medically inaccurate.
We are not medical doctors.
But it was so interesting to see that some countries where it was only applying to men, that sense of, do they not understand that there are men who are having sex with men who are also having sex with women?
That's right.
Does that not occur to lawmakers?
Probably not.
And it's weird to be like, hey, discriminate against women too, but also not. so it's that weird sense of like, I want equal opportunity. Yeah. But it's interesting because in Canada, the laws came in because there was a case where, you know, there were a number of cases where people were being infected with HIV and Hep C. Hep 3 are with blood donations. But we have screening procedures now.
Yeah, that's right.
To my knowledge, so we can actually screen for those things from blood. It just seems to be that any kind of law change in this sense, people just feel very anxious about. And even though, you know, I think in Australia there's statistics showing that HIV is no longer at, like, you know, the numbers of HIV is rising faster in other groups, not
that's
just
right.
gay and bisexual men.
That's right.
So there is still this kind of mentality of it that is firstly binary AF and secondly is really just holding on to stigma and that doesn't actually have place in the scientific reality of the situation.
Correct. And it's based upon fear.
But I suppose there's also that reminder that it has not been that long for a lot of people.
True.
And so that, and because blood can be stored for a long time, there was, I think, a lot of fear around that happening. But also to say, look, you can donate blood, just don't have sex with any men for 5 years.
Oh, my God.
Also, like, okay, you're a woman. Does your husband / partner have sex with men as well?
Mm.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, then you can't come in here. Like, I wonder if they actually ask those questions because I actually, from my experience of a lot of doctors, that wouldn't even really occur.
No.
Like, is your husband cheating on you? It's like, no, we are not married. We're in a polyamorous relationship and
that's
he
right.
is bisexual.
Yeah,
hi, James.
Poly-erasure, bi-erasure works in your favour in this instance.
Yeah, because they just, you know, it's like that case of, no, ask me so I can explain to you why your rules are shit.
Well, our final news story is Harry Styles has been praised by fans after releasing what's been described as a bisexual anthem on National Coming Out Day. The 25-year-old singer, songwriter and actor finally released the video for his song Lights Up following months of sneak peeks and teasers. Officially released on National Coming Out Day last week, the track features Styles singing about stepping into the light of a new identity and never going back. Lyrics that many fans associate sexuality and associate with sexuality and are hailing the track as another bisexual anthem, the first being his song Medicine. Despite fan speculation, Styles has refused to label his sexuality, neither describing himself as straight, bi or otherwise. Rude. However, the former One Directioner has flown pride, bi and trans flags during recent tours. So he says he wants to make people feel comfortable being whatever they want to be. And when he is questioned about these flags in an interview with Rolling Stone in August of 2019. So he says, I can't claim that I know what it's like because I don't. So I'm not trying to say I understand what it's like. I'm just trying to make people feel included and seen. Gorgeous.
Yeah, and
It's interesting because I think, I'm like, he flew a bi flag. He knew about the bi flag. He's probably one of us.
Yeah.
He is. Allies, bless them, tend to not know what it
no,
is.
No, that's right. We'll just wait patiently.
It's all right, Harry. You were a lesbian icon for a brief period, but if you've released two bisexual anthems without coming out yet, it's destiny, mate.
It's anyway, time.
If you're curious about what the song sounds like, don't worry, we're about to play it for you. So stay tuned. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by James to talk about the Bi Five Project. I know it's not a children's TV show, though that could be really cool too.
Future.
Coming up, Lights Up by Harry Styles. Apparently it's a bisexual anthem. This is to a bypass on Joy. Right, and you're back on Triple Bypass, the show that's here to put the B in LGBTIQA+, plus a P for pansexual, a Q for queer and questioning, and an E for everybody else. We're not gatekeepers, not our jam.
No, not about that life here, my darling. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby, and here is a familiar voice. We're delighted to welcome back into the studio for the first time in ages. It's James!
Hello.
Hi, James. And you're here on behalf of the Bi Five Project.
I am indeed.
You haven't come back to join us just yet. One day. James Dominguez has been a Bi Plus community organiser and outspoken advocate for Bi Plus people for over 15 years. He's been on the committees of several not-for-profit groups, including Bi Victoria, Polyvic, and currently Bi Alliance, and is the co-founder and regular facilitator of the Melbourne Bisexual Discussion Group, which has started its 15th year of continuous operation. He is currently working with the Bi Five Project, which aims to make life easier for all multigender-attracted Victorians by helping all kinds of organisations to understand, include, and support them better. Thanks for joining us, James.
It's nice to be here.
Nice
it's
to have you back.
Great to be back.
With the same purple shirt. The hair is less purple this time, though.
No, I've been slack. I haven't been colouring. I've gone to my... Someone called it distinguished, so that made me happy.
Yeah, I can see that.
Distinguished, old, you know, whatever.
Well, we're here to have a chat around the Bi Five Project, which is a community-driven effort to improve the lives of bisexual plus and multigender-attracted people by helping employers, service providers and community groups to build up their knowledge about the particular needs of bi plus and multigender-attracted, or MGA, people.
And so we're here to talk about this project. If you've got any questions around it or any questions about how James has been since he's been away, how we're doing, if you just have a thought that comes into your head and you want to ask us, you can do that. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au or text 0427 569 949. Now,
I have a personal request. Please send us a message to tell us your favourite dinosaur, because we just don't talk about our favourite dinosaurs anywhere near enough.
This is true, actually.
That's a great point.
Brontosaurus.
Brachiosaurus.
Oh.
Triceratops.
Nice.
Nice. Solid choice. Solid choice.
More a biceratops.
Yeah. But I was waiting for it. I was like, I just laid that right out for you.
I'm surprised it wasn't velociraptors. We have that thing of like, there is no, like, you know, bisexuals have no friends. There is only prey.
Only prey.
By velociraptors. Now, speaking of bi puns, Bi Five, firstly, that's a pretty excellent name. Now, it's not a kids' show.
Sad one.
High Five. I actually really like that. Anyway. So what does the five stand for?
Well, okay, it did come from a pun.
Obviously, that's by culture.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, sometimes you're just having those conversations and you're just sort of like, you know, you're just making stuff up and having fun and like, and speculating about fun things you could do if you had the resources to do it. And somebody was just like, there's all these sort of audit tools around where people sort of, you know, audit organizations and help them to, you know, be more representative and be more inclusive. Wouldn't it be great if we had a buy one? We call it the buy five. We'd say, yeah, buy five. And we just all laughed because it's like, yeah. And then we all just sort of went,
hang on a second.
Actually,
let me think about this.
And there was a bit of a process for a couple of years after that while we actually tried to make it happen. And then we actually got the support of the Victorian government and it was amazing. And they came to us and said, yeah, we like this idea. We want this to actually happen. So we're making it happen. It's a real thing.
And so what does the five stand for?
This is one of those things where it's like, you know when you come up with a good name and then it's like, let's work out what the acronym stands for.
Yeah,
like
the old acronym.
So we sort of went, it would be nice to have sort of, you know, five things. And I think the five that we came up with are a pretty good summary of, you know, how to be inclusive of any marginalized group, really. And that's the number one is the language that people use. So just being careful of the words that they use. Number two is working to make people feel safe and welcomed. Number three is visibility. So actually making sure that people feel seen, in the visual media that you make. Actually putting things properly into policy is number four, and development's the fifth one. Just, you know, staying in contact with the community and just making sure that we're staying on top of things.
Language, safety, visibility, policy, development. By five.
Yeah.
That's excellent. And so the idea for this auditing tool came from just discussing the other auditing tools that are existing. I know that, is it, now, Amelia, you might, is it Victoria or Australia with the rainbow tick?
That is a great question. I'm thinking Australia, but for some reason I'm stumbling and thinking Victoria as well. I remember...
Couldn't make up your mind?
I'm bisexual. I can't make up my mind ever. I think it perhaps it's Victoria-wide, now that I've come to think of it.
Yeah, because the rainbow tick is a world-first auditing tool that is supposed to help... different workplaces become more LGBTIQA+ inclusive.
It's targeted mainly at mainstream organisations to be with the overall aim of being not necessarily just accepting but affirmative of people from LGBTIQ+.
Not just tolerance, celebration.
That's right. So it's more for the community as a whole. There are a lot of barriers, though, in terms of accessing the rainbow tick. Though it's super expensive. It's a very long process. It's amazing, and I think a lot of organisations who have the means and the resources should do it. But it's definitely beyond the reach of some organisations who want to do better for our communities, which is why affirmative practice style trainings exist. And now other auditing tools, for example, like this one, are branching out.
Yeah, and the general idea of the Buy Five is not to, you know, start from the ground up and build up from nothing.
Yeah.
The way we've been thinking about it is more, you know, there are organisations who know their stuff fairly well, who have awareness of broader LGBTQIA+ issues and needs. And we just say, hey, the Bi Plus folks and the MGA folks, regardless of what labels they use, they actually have some really specific needs.
That's right.
There are specific ways that you can support them. And when you support the whole rainbow, that's great. But There isn't really a one-size-fits-all for every colour of that rainbow. Every stripe of that rainbow has got some other, got some specific stuff that, that's important to know.
It's almost like we're all unique groups and unique individuals.
I think particularly, so we've spoken on the show before, over the 3 years that we've been doing it, about the social narrative that really exists around bi plus people getting covered by gay or straight services. Mm-hmm. And so there being really a lack of awareness in service providers that that might not be the case. So will the bi, like, do you think the bi five auditing tool will be able to change that particular narrative?
I think so. So one of the things, like one of the examples that we've talked about, is that there are organisations who've done really good work, like they've worked really hard to be really supportive of, like, you know, same sex couples, and they, in doing that work, they may have this idea in their head. It's like, oh, this person is same sex attracted, their partner will always be of the same or similar gender to them. And they're just, and they'll use particular pronouns and they'll make particular, you know, particular assumptions.
They make a gay TM.
yeah, or they say, oh, we're going to have an event at a video game arcade, and we're going to call it the gamer event and stuff like that. And we're just like, you know, that's great, but there's also some more stuff you could do. It's actually a little more complicated than that, and we're here to walk you through that. Yeah, we're your guides.
Goodbye, guides.
We walk through the valley of the shadow of the purple shadow of bisexuality. You fear not getting lost, because we are your shepherds. We're your fabulous, fabulous, glittery, coloured
shepherds. And everything is lit wonderfully. We'll cuff your jeans for you. We'll give you some nice bobs.
Really. we'll get you a lovely jacket.
Get you a sweet-ass jacket.
Yeah, that's right. Teach you how to do finger guns and bad puns.
Now, I'm going to bring us to the next song so I can ask Amelia off-air what she thought I was going to say.
Cool.
Coming up next, we've got... Now, James, you picked this song up for us. So, now, this is by M-U-N-A. So
Muna.
Muna, you're a huge fan of Muna.
Oh, I love it. I discovered them because of you. Yeah, because you played I Know a Place, which is just a fabulous queer anthem.
And the acoustic version's pretty amazing.
Oh, it is. Ugh. It's like, teasing the eyes. This is another song off the same album, and they've got another album coming out. It's just about to come out. They've released the first single, and the album's coming out.
I saw
really
you linked soon. It to me. It was great.
And, but this one's just a song about not being ashamed of who you are and what you're feeling, and just saying, no, not going to hide it. I'm going to broadcast it on a loudspeaker, which is, where the name of the song comes from.
That's very appropriate for this topic. It's almost like you thought of that, James.
It's almost like I thought of that.
We'll be right back after this community message, and then Muna with Loudspeaker. Stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Try to be my hell, to be my beating. if I feel real good tonight, I'm gonna put it high on the loudspeaker. If I feel like crying, I won't hide it, I am a loudspeaker.
That's right, and you're back with the best of the bees. No offending anybody with that one.
You did well there, darling.
Thank you. Good save. You're back on Triple Bypass, your weekly check-in with a bunch of bisexuals. And we're here to give you all of the bunchy goss. I ran out of things as I was writing it, and I forgot I hadn't finished my pun. Live radio. Anyway... I'm Ruby.
I'm Amelia.
And I'm James.
We've got James back. And James is a guest. He's being interviewed, which is actually how this started all those years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on as a guest a couple of times. And you're like, that worked well. Do you want to just come on regularly? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, my God, same. I'm so glad to know.
It's how the bi agenda works.
That's right.
Just like, come on. Keep coming. Keep coming.
Now you never leave.
Now the door is closed.
So you know the cliche about how, you know, on the first date, with lesbians, they get to know each other on the second date. They bring the moving truck.
Yeah. The U-Haul, yeah. It's with called.
Bring the U-Haul, yeah. Or with bisexuals, the second date is, or the second time you meet is when I come on my radio show.
Oh my God, is that real life? That makes so much sense.
It's my real life. It is for sure. It's like, hi, you seem really cool. I do a show. Do you want to come on my show?
Oh my God, I should start looking for my guests on Tinder. This is a great idea, James.
Look, it's brains. A good way. You get to have an hour-long conversation about interesting topics, and they have to talk to you.
Our guest this week is Kevin. He likes fishing and four-wheel driving.
And then for me, I'm allowed to talk about my special interests uninterrupted for an hour.
So, you were photographed with a sleeping tiger in Thailand. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Did you see them administer the drugs, or was it after?
This is actual genius, friends. Anyway, we should probably talk about the topic we're in.
Yeah, if you have just tuned in, I don't know what we're talking about, don't worry, because you can easily catch up. Firstly, we're going to give you a summary, but also you can find every episode of Triple Bypass, including tonight's, will be available in podcast form on iTunes. We're on Spotify now. We're on, like, Podbean? We're on Podbean.
Podbean
is a new one that I found, which is amazing.
What is that?
It's a podcast listed website called Podbean.
It's only for podcasts by beans.
Human beans?
By beans. Anyway, and we're all good podcasts are found, hopefully. And we've been chatting with James, who's joined us to chat about a new project that he's been working on, which is a collaboration between the Bisexual Alliance Victoria, Drummond Street Services, and with consultation with Melbourne Bisexual Network, looking to create, it's a community-driven effort to improve the lives of bisexual plus people by having a bi audit process. And we've talked a little bit about auditing processes and how in Victoria there's been a big movement with an audit called the Rainbow Tick, which is helping larger companies that can afford it to go through from the bottom up through every kind of policy and review and ask questions around where they've actually thought about if they need to change things to make them more inclusive.
Inclusive for bi folks.
So, yeah, by saying, you know, rainbow flag on the window, that's great.
Yeah.
Do you have policies around different kinds of leave for different kinds of families?
Yeah, cool. Mm. Am I right in understanding, James, that you're looking to start rolling out this bi five audit tool with LGBTIQ organisations? Is that right?
What we'd really like to do is talk to both, like, mainstream organisations who are aware of rainbow issues in general, mm-hmm. and sort of go, hey, can we, you know, help you to refine these to make sure that everyone's catered to, you know, with their specific needs, but also, yeah, just general, so more specific rainbow community organisations as well. And we're looking at it from the perspective of employers who want to support their staff,
yeah, cool.
and, you know, want to make sure their staff feel welcome. We also want to help service providers, especially in mental health, community support, medicine as well, so that when their clients come in, their clients feel welcome, and also just other businesses and community groups who may have, you know, clients or stakeholders or anyone like that they need to, you know, just be sensitive of.
Because we have seen in the last few years, especially a lot of organisations that were formerly gay and lesbian organisations now rebranding to be more inclusive of the communities that they work with. And so I feel like just from that lens, this tool, it is amazing because it will make sure that the B and, you know, to some degree, potentially T, I and Q are also not just like tacked on in there, but are actually included within that and meaningful chain.
And those name changes really matter.
Yeah, I mean, they do.
Because it's all about, you know, the representation and making sure that people, you know, feel included and feel like, you know, they really are represented and these organisations really do care. But I've been in conversations with, you know, biphobic people who have, you know, pointed at the name of the organisation and says, look, it's GL.
Yeah.
No. You can't yell at us for not supporting, you know, for not, you know, going out of the way to support your community.
When, it's not,
you know,
for
the G and the L is clearly there in the name.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, see, it'd be really good to not give people that kind of ammunition when they're being biphobic. So,
yeah, 100%. Okay, amazing.
But that change is definitely, and I think that's part of what's causing it as well, is that sense of having inclusive language, so, but also things that people probably haven't thought of as to, oh, you know, people say, well, gay used to be a big umbrella term and still is used as an umbrella term. A lot of people, don't people feel included? And then having to be like, well, yes, but people might have also not felt gay enough.
Yeah.
And so if there's a sense of gay and lesbian having a particular connotation, that is going to send a particular kind of message.
That's right.
And so, yeah, I think this is looking at a part of that. But I think, So what do you think will be the main obstacles in getting organisations to engage in the process?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, especially people, organisations that, well, really all of them, you know, if you're running for a profit or if you're, you know, operating on, you know, a limited amount of government grant money or donation money, you know, you are careful about where you put your resources.
Yeah.
And I think there will be, it'll be a job that we have to do to, you know, convince them that this is a good thing for them to do and this is something that they will benefit from and that they will, at the end of the process, they will say, yeah, that was worthwhile.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did that.
And hopefully that's also reflected in the practice change for the people that those organisations are working with.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Not only will it be worth it for the organisations who've invested that time in undertaking this process, but it'll be echoed back to them from their clients is what I'm hoping.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the processes we want to help sort of put in place are things, you know, where they just do listen to feedback and they're prepared, they have systems in place to receive feedback and analyze feedback and act on the feedback.
Mm.
And if they start getting nice positive messages saying, hey, I noticed you've made these changes and that's fantastic and I feel so much more welcome now, then that's the sort of thing that'll tell them, you made a good decision investing your limited resources in this.
And is that when they get a buy five?
Yeah, well, they'll get a buy five accreditation they can put on their website and stuff.
I will also personally high five all of them.
This is what I was getting at. I was like,
every single person, I'll just run past, be like, you're all wonderful peeps. I will do that if you get this done.
But I think it's really significant, though, that, I mean, as far as I know, it's possible I'm wrong about this, but as far as I know, this is the first time the Victorian government and possibly any state government in Australia has specifically funded a bi plus focused initiative, multi-gender attracted people initiative. And I think it's great that it's a pun.
If we're going to do it, we're going to do it our way.
That's right.
You know?
It has to be a pun.
Well, actually, on that, this might be shocking for people who listen, but I have some statistics in my brain around funding for bisexual endeavours. And the fact is that I think in the last 2 years, the grant funding that goes into the bisexual community in the United States, which is, you know, hundreds of, like 300 million people or more, for 1 year was, I think 2 years ago, it was $600 for a year. And before that, it averages usually around 90,000 to 10,000 to 100,000. So that's about all given compared to around $7 to $8 million for gay communities.
I think the trans community, there was 1 year I saw that the bi community got $2,000 and the trans community, I think, got $9 million, which is totally fair. I mean, the trans community absolutely should be receiving
money. But it was looking
money.
At the fact that over and
just
over again,
comparison.
When you saw the breakdowns, it was like it was really, really low. And and I don't think there has been any kind of government investment in this kind of project before, which is really, really exciting because, you know, the other thing is that this is very evidence-based. Can you tell I've been working a bit hard too? Sorry. I've been putting together a State of the Nation report, basically, which is to look at, you know, what our health statistics are and why this is important, specifically in mental health, because research has shown that gay and straight psychologists do find bisexuality confusing, and so are more likely to then assume that their client is confused about their sexuality.
And the funny thing is,
when you rate that, when you also have one in three of the cis bisexual population of Australia having attempted suicide, when you're looking at that with, like, you know, high rates of anxiety and everything, it's really important that there's some understanding that people can actually go and seek help and not have to spend or have to confront really behaviours that is going to stop them from wanting to seek help.
And we're not talking about a small community.
No,
here.
Exactly.
I mean, if, you know, the estimates for, you know, just the rainbow community in general are somewhere in the vicinity of 10%. And
I heard that just for the bi community, like some studies,
I mean,
in Australia
possibly
showing
more.
1 in 10.
Mm. Yeah, and at least half of the rainbow community is bi plus, so bisexual, pansexual, or other multigender attracted labels, which means in Australia there's somewhere between 1 and 2 million of us. I mean, that's a lot of people.
A conservative estimate.
There could be more than 2 million, and then
that's a city.
I know.
Like, that's a large city.
Yeah.
Geelong.
By city.
Yeah. And if you...
Let's take Geelong.
And then if you factor in the people who experience some kind of multigender attraction but don't reflect it in their label. So, you know, so gay people who occasionally have different sex relationships.
Homo flexible.
Because it's a bit of fun, and like, and sometimes it's just a bit of variety and it's fun. Mm. But they, you know, like a lesbian woman who really is lesbian in their heart, but sometimes she'll have fun with a guy because it's just fun.
Why not?
Or you know, straight people who occasionally have, you know, same sex relationships just because it's a bit of fun again. Mm. The last statistics I saw on that, it was something like it could be anywhere between 20% and 30% of the entire population, and now we're getting into double digit numbers of millions. Like, that could be 10 million people.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case, but
and this is a group of people who receive no funding.
Yeah, because we also have some of the lowest rates of coming out in the community.
Well, and everyone assumes we're covered under queer, well, not necessarily queer, but like
gay
money or straight money, which
exactly
we are definitely not.
And I think including us, but that's the thing. I like that this is happening. And I say that because the next song we're going to play is Janelle Monáe's I Like That.
Nice link.
Thank you.
They're on fire.
Now, this is not a choice by you, James. Any particular reason other than the fact that she is a literal goddess?
Janelle Monáe is my queen.
Yeah. Now, there is a language warning for this song, so heads up with that. A bit of explicit language.
Teensy bit sweary.
We'll stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. Here's Janelle Monáe with I Like That.
Depending on my mood, on my attitude. Sometimes I wanna roll or stay at home. Walk in contradiction, get some factual and fiction. A little crazy, little sexy, little cool. Little rough around the edges, but I keep it smooth. I'm always left to center, and it's right where I belong. I'm the random mind, and don't you hear in major songs. And I like that.
math class, third row. I was sitting by you. Right before Mr. Ammon's class. Cause my mama couldn't afford new J's Polo, thrift store, thrift clothes. That was all I knew. Do you remember? I remember when you laughed when I cut my perm off and you rated me a 6. I was like, damn. But even back then, with the tears in my eyes, I always knew I was the shit. I like that.
You're listening to Triple Bypass, home of Joy's bisexual agenda. Sorry, that sounded like it's not even Halloween yet. I'm getting into the spirit. My name's Ruby.
I'm Amelia.
I'm James.
That's right. We've managed to coax James back into the studio here, and he's been chatting with us around the Bi 5 Project, which is a community collaboration between Melbourne Bisexual Network, Bi Alliance Victoria, Drummond Street Services, that is looking at creating basically an assessment process or audit tool that involves 5 major categories to help organizations look at how they can improve their inclusion of multi-gender attracted and bi plus people. And we were just talking about how in Australia, which is a population of 25 million, last time I checked, approximately.
In that neighborhood.
Going up quite quickly, but it's around there.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at a conservative estimate of the population being around 10% identifying as LGBTIQA+, and about half of that being bi, so that's about 1 to 2 million people.
Amazing.
Then if we look at also behaviour that isn't bi plus labelled, we're looking at around, what, 10, something like...
Anywhere between 5 and 10 million.
We basically have the makings of a city.
I love it.
A bi-metropolis, if you will.
Well, it's a bi-plus city, which is the capital of the multigender attracted state.
The camera pans across a landscape.
I think we should...
Purple light, blue light, pink light, flaring everywhere. The doves are caught in it as they fly up into the air.
And then
the city rises.
I guess we just listen to that Janelle Monáe song. I just keep wanting to go, I was like, damn. It's just that I instinctively keep saying that. I was like, damn.
I was just imagining, like, in The Wizard of Oz, they see the Emerald City. It's like that, but just the bi flag.
We have the best colours, so it makes the most sense, really.
The Amethyst City. We're on our way to the Amethyst City to talk to the bi wizard.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of, we just got a message in from Tom Morgan, who is saying awesome colours at Flinders Street tonight because Flinders Street Station, which is the main train station here in Melbourne's capital, Melbourne's business central, is all lit up in the bi flag.
Oh, why? Oh, why? Like, just because we're talking about our bi city takeover?
If we have this much power, I also would like to request a unicorn, and I would like to also ask if I could please have a house.
Can we replace all Ubers with unicorns, please?
I make this request. I don't mind what their names are, as long as at least 3 have names that start with Qs.
We couldn't find you a unicorn, but we got you a pony and an ice cream cone.
I'll take it. Also, light every building in the bi flag. We also got another message. We've been talking previously around another auditing tool which exists here in Victoria, which is called the Rainbow Tick, which is how how organisations can address how their services can become and basically entrench LGBTIQA plus inclusion into every aspect of their business from the ground up. However, as we've talked about on the show and as this listener has pointed out, there are some pretty big barriers involved in that because this writer, who is anonymous, the major factor against the Rainbow Tick is the cost and the process involving accreditation.
Yeah, that's true.
They know one of our communities, long-established organisations, and they run programs across our community and have recently rebranded to help recognise their wider interactions when they first established. They're probably not going to go down the Rainbow Tick path because it's too expensive and time-consuming. And if that's how our organisation's feeling, how can a small one justify it? Which is what we've been saying. It's a really good point. What we're talking about with the bi accreditation, I think, is maybe different because I think it's a... How is that going to be different? Is there going to be a big cost barrier?
Yeah.
There are some details still being worked out. I mean, we're currently pre-pilot model. We're putting together the pilot program right now.
We're picking the colours for the website.
But well, we've got a really good draft of the questionnaire, like the actual audit tool itself. But that's going to do some refining. We're also we're going to be talking about this later. Actually, we're going to be doing some community consultation through focus groups, and we're looking for volunteers.
Oh, cool.
Keep that in mind for when we come back to
volunteers,
it.
Volunteers, because we're going to pay you.
Yes, well, that's right.
Reimburse for time and inconvenience.
We'll feed you and pay you.
It won't be inconvenient. It'll be great.
For your time and enjoyment.
Yes.
Yep, there'll be a buffet, and then we'll hand you like a prepaid Visa card or something at the end of it.
Yum, great. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and those are coming up soon. So we'll talk a bit about those. And if you want to find those, you can find them if you happen to be in Melbourne or happy to travel to Melbourne. You can find information around those at...
And we are looking at perhaps doing a regional one as well.
Okay. Oh, excellent.
That's great.
And when we have the data from that, you can find it on a Facebook page that has been set up, which is facebook.com/by5project, and that's 5 the numeral.
Mm-hmm.
So just by5project.
By5project. Cool.
Yep.
And so that's for folks who are in Melbourne or potentially regional, if that focus group's able to be set up, who would like to lend some of their expertise to help co-design and, I guess, shape what this audit tool could look like.
And we're looking for the biggest variety of people we can. I mean, we are looking for people who self-identify as bisexual and pansexual.
Right.
But if you actually identify as straight or gay or lesbian or any other label, but you do... recognising yourself a capacity to be multi-gender attracted, we would love to hear from you as well, because we want to hear from everybody, regional and city and suburban and old and young and rich and poor and everybody.
All the demographics.
All the folks.
All
I
the
can't
knows.
Do it because I'm too involved in it already, so I don't get to have the buffet, which I'm quite sad about.
Yeah,
I love a good buffet. You get to have a bit of everything.
Yeah,
that's kind of my jam.
I was going to say, it's just like multi-gender attraction, right? Like it's just a giant buffet all the time, every time.
But this time we get paid for it. And I think, I was talking to James, so I think what's also important is recognising that we're trying to look at what an inclusive space would be like and talking about that. So, you know, I think... On the show as well, we often try, you know, we've all had experiences of hitting against biphobia. Mm. And we will, I think, and I think when I'm staying with James, told me about the focus groups, there's going to be things in place so people can, there's mental health support there if people
cool.
need it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously talking about any of these things can be unexpectedly triggering.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is very much about talking what would inclusivity look like? Like yep. what yeah. would, what, and what has been inclusive and what, how did it make you feel? And
Because that's exactly right. Because we're trying to do this entire thing as evidence-based as we can. We want to have data to back up everything we do.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is we've got the stats to say, yeah, things are a bit shit. You know, we've got all the stats about mental health and suicidality and homelessness and all these other things, intimate partner violence, et cetera, et cetera. What we really want to look for is, okay, what does it look like if it's perfect? Like, what would you imagine a perfect
pie in the sky? Pie in the sky. Write that down. Someone write that down.
I'm on it. Okay, bye.
Pie.
I'm just going to stop there. I just want to buy a pie.
Cool. Yeah, we want to get people's own, you know, their own experiences in their own words. You know, just saying, you know, if you've had some really positive experiences, that's great, because we want to hear from that and say, okay, this is what we go to organisations and say, hey, other organisations have done this and people have told us that it was a great experience for them and it made them feel really included and really supported and really seen.
Mm.
Yeah, so you could consider doing this too.
Now, I think we should all have a go about saying some inclusive experiences we've had.
None immediately spring to mind. Isn't that sad? Sorry.
No, that's okay. I think for me it was Out for Australia. So they do a lot of, like, you know, panel discussions and free networking events.
Yeah, cute.
And they did one that we went to, Amelia, which was for women, and I got to go there even though I'm not a woman, which is exciting for me. And they recently did one for being bi plus in the workplace.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did.
Oh,
and
that's
it was
amazing.
Run by Visibility Day, and so they did it with community consultation.
Super cool.
And it was that sense of being like, oh yeah, that's great. Like you reached, you know, you decided you're going to do something. You made sure you're doing it by checking with other organisations that, you know, work with those places, so you were doing it the right way.
Yeah.
You were being really respectful, but also, you know, quite like affirmative and proactive in taking. And rather than just saying, well, you can do that, that's your little slice of the pie. I'm really hungry. They decided they were going to hold an event, and it was organized, and the bi people within the organization were really excited to be able to work on it.
Great.
And I thought just hearing from about that, and people who'd worked there felt really positive about it as well, and how excited they were to be able to work on a bi plus project.
Mm.
So I think that was an experience for me, just being like, oh, look at that.
We've been included. So
it's a little event. I didn't organize it.
Yeah.
One of the positive things that I've enjoyed is, it sounds kind of sad, but it's actually a really good thing, is when you tell somebody that, you know, you're bisexual or whatever, and it's just like you told them, oh, I have brown eyes.
That's right.
You know, and it's just like, okay. Like when I was seeing a brand new GP who is like straight out of university, he's still doing his like his residency, and he's, you know, doing his residency at my local clinic. Mm. And I just said, oh, just so you know, I'm bisexual. Yeah. And I have two long-term partners, a man and a woman. And he was just like, okay. And he just sort of jotted down the notes.
Wasn't a thing.
And then just carried on with it as if what I told him was the most normal thing in the world.
See, that's what we need. Whereas, like, this is almost the opposite experience of what I'm having at the moment. I have a boyfriend and I do a lot of work in queer spaces, and I've started telling people, oh, I'll just drop like my boyfriend, and they'll look at me like really confused. And this
what
is my first,
are you?
It's my first experience of this in a long time. And like, I wish that instead it was more like the experience that you're having. It's like, oh yeah, cool, great, you know, not a thing. Whereas people
are
just
going? Like, is it nice? Like, you know, the actual questions it's like asking.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of just looking like they're trying to put a puzzle together in their head because you're like covered in rainbows and bisexual things, and they're just like, oh, but that's what it actually is in practice, is you have a...
And they're going to have to get used to it because...
I know.
Oh, my God. Like, there was a study that just came out in the past week in the US that over a third now of Gen Z young people in the United States...
Is that the young people?
That's like... It's like up to 25, I think.
Okay.
Up to 22, something like that.
It's the young one.
The young one, not us.
Over a third, when asked to do like a classic Kinsey rating, you know, 0 to 6, were 1 to 5.
Ah.
Over a third said they're neither exclusively heterosexual nor homosexual.
Amazing.
And that's a lot.
They've heard
our
call.
That's a very lot.
They come to fight. This is very exciting. But yeah, but I think that's it. Like, affirming things can also be... You know, spending time with community and kind of hearing your story repeated, that can be nice. It can be, I know when I've had, a gay man who organizes the Better Together conferences,
yep.
When he's like, you know, spoken, when they do like the launch, and he says like, you know, and he'll list like, you know, all the acronyms, and goes, I want my bisexuals visible.
Yes.
I want them seen and I want them heard.
Right.
And someone else tweeted saying, like, I'm at this conference and the bisexuals just gave out the loudest cheer. I'm like, yeah, we did. We were so excited. Anthony and I were just like, ah. But, like, it was that sense of like, okay, you're not just like, you're not just talking, you're not just saying the acronym.
Yeah.
You're signaling us out, and you're also signaling out the issue that we're dealing with.
That's right.
You're making an effort. And I was like, I feel that. I feel that in my little heartbeat.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Now, we do have to wrap up. This is the end of the show. But we'll be back next Tuesday. But quickly, where are the focus groups?
They're going to be happening at the end of this month and just into the beginning of next month.
Sunday, the 27th of this month from 2 to 4. Monday, the 28th. 6 till 8. Tuesday, the 29th. 6 till 8. You can listen to the show afterwards. Thursday, the 1st, 6 till 8. Again, you can check them all out. You can also email the project manager at christine.weber@ds.org.au. Drummond Street. And you can find everything on Facebook at the Bypass Project. We'll be back next week on Triple Bypass. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.